We pray that you bless it, speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you open up everyone's understanding today. And Father, help us to understand our condition before God as saved people and also as lost people. And I pray, Father, the lost would flee to Christ and the saved would be revived. And I pray you do a great work in our midst and help us. Without you, we can do nothing. And we believe that with all our heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Paul says, "For that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, and now is our salvation nearer than we believe." Now, Paul is not speaking about being saved. He's speaking about our deliverance, the rapture, the taking away of the saints. And that's what he's speaking about here when he says our salvation is nearer than when we believe. So they believe, they were saved, they were born again by the Spirit of God, but he's speaking about their deliverance from this world. So he goes on and says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy." Here's the verse 14, "But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Thank you. May be seated. So we see here in chapter 13 unfolds with our responsibility to the authorities in verse 1 through 7. Verse 8 through 10, our responsibility to our neighbor. And the Bible speaks about love and how important it is to love our neighbor, love our enemies, and most of all, loving God. And then verse 11 and 14, Paul addresses the church of the sin of complacency and being lukewarm and calloused. And people who have been saved, they can allow themselves to enter into a period of spiritual dullness, spiritual idleness, spiritual indifference. So what is the attitude they have, and or what is the mindset they have? It's a mindset of, you know, who cares? You know, and people get that way. And it shouldn't be, but it happens. You know, they have a who care attitude. Who cares about anything? And it's a sad state to be in, but it happens to save people. And this is not based on our loving God and one another, our neighbor, or our enemies. We must maintain our urgency to love and live for our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And think with me about what Paul was stating to this church. He said, "And knowing it is high time, and our salvation is near, and the night is far spent, the day is at hand." Speaks of the church and to all churches the urgency we must have in our lives. Why? Because the time is short. You know, the Lord's coming back. And you may say, "Well, you know, I don't know, preacher. I think that, you know, I believe in the mid-trib. I believe no trib. I believe, you know, look, the Bible teaches a pre-trib rapture, and the taking away of the saints is going to happen before the tribulation begins. But once that begins, friend, you're in deep weeds if you're left behind. I'm not fooling around. I mean, you want to look at it, look from chapter 6 through chapter 18 of Revelation and tell me that's what you want to experience, because it's going to be terrifying. And the Antichrist is going to step on the scene. The first 3.5 years will be somewhat of a pseudo peace. The last three, it's going to be the great tribulation. The world's never seen this before. And why? Because God's going to pour his judgment upon earth. Let me tell you what the judgment is. The judgment has to do with man's sin, man's rebellion, man living his life without God. So I can live without God. I don't need God. Fine. That's great. God said, go for it. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to pour out tribulation that you've never seen before for 3.5 years. The Bible says people are going to cry out, not to God. You think they'd cry to God. You think they'd turn to God. No, they're going to cry out to the mountains. Fall on us. Kill us. People are going to seek death and they'll not be able to find it. So I'm telling you, friend, it's not something to mess around with. It's not something to take lightly. It's something to flee The Bible says, flee from the wrath to come. So God tells us here that this is the age we live in, and our time is limited. And we're here for a season and the time to obey now. There's no time to feel sorry for ourselves, no time for being apathetic, no time for complacency or indifference. If the apostle presented this message in the first century, how much more should we take this to heart today, 2,000 years later? 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, listen to this. The Bible says, the children of Issachar, which were men that hath understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Now let me tell you, I would say this in general, men are ignorant of the times they live in. Ignorant. Even among our church people. We are in such a situation politically, monetarily, spiritually, and that should be in the first one. Spiritually should be the first. We're in such a fix. And you guys can say what you want about, oh, well, you know, this, I think Biden will do that. I think, you know, that, hey, listen, we're in deep weeds. Deep weeds. And I'm not trying to choose sides or anything like that. I'm telling you, we're in troublesome times. Far more than you and I understand. And we need to have revival. We need to seek the Lord. Why? Because that's our only hope. As a church, that's our only hope for our country. To have revival. And so the question is going to be asked, are you willing to do what God tells you to do in these last moments of time? Are you willing to be saved? Are you willing to come to Christ? Or you're going to have your foot on the brake and say, well, nah, maybe later. Oh, no, I'm going to read another book. I'm going to forget about it. You need to repent. You need to come to Christ. Stop fiddling around. I say this to our young people. I say to those who are lost, you need to be saved. Get that settled for your eternity. We find here that the people, the children of Issachar, they understood the times. And we don't. And we think we do, because we watch CNN. We don't. We don't get it. We don't understand it. The Lord's churches need wisdom to know what to do and understand the times. Now notice the first thing, we see the call for alertness. We pick up here in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, and know that our salvation is near than when we believe. That's, again, the taking away the saints. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. See, preacher, I'm not doing anything that's considered darkness. Well, we'll see. I don't know. But anything that's not of God is darkness. Don't justify yourselves. We have a duty to recognize the times, the portion of Scripture speaking of the Lord's return, the taking away of the saints. And we're experiencing the last moments of time now. Now you say, well, how much time we have? I don't know. Because that's urgent. It's that close. The Bible tells us, I know it quotes, in such a time you think not the Son of Man cometh. We must put this in perspective. And this is our world is coming to an end. As we know it, Paul calls the assembly of believers to awake from their slumber, from the unconscious, unresponsive, and inactive concerning the things of God. Now, Paul addressed the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14, and 34 rather, verse 34. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Let me ask you this. Have you talked to your neighbor about Christ? Have you gone across the street to talk to people? Have you gone throughout your apartment complex and talked to people about the Lord? You know, here we're worried about ordering from Amazon and make sure we get those packages in and a whole bunch of them. And we don't even care about our neighbor across the way. Let alone across that in the state, across the country, in other countries. No, it's about me. It's not about you. It's about God. You got to get that on straight. The world is lost, is separated from the Lord, lost in self-righteousness and religion. And we evangelize, we must evangelize, we must witness, must tell others of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that is, in spite of their sin, the Lord will forgive them and cleanse them from all their iniquities. We must be busy about the work of the Lord. Now take your Bible, turn with me to Luke 24, please. Luke chapter 24. And notice, if you would, verse 45. And the Bible tells us here in verse 45, he just has his disciples there. He says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So it's important as we look to the word of God to understand the scriptures. And he's speaking to saved people here. Don't, you know, be cavalier about, oh, I got it. You don't have it. We need to ask God to open up our understanding, to help us to see the and know the meaning of the word. God goes on and tells us here in verse 46, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. So this is a gospel. Jesus died for your sins according to scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to scriptures. That's a gospel. Don't add anything to it. Don't take it away. What about baptism? No, you're adding to the gospel. What about church membership? You're adding to the gospel. What about the sacraments? You're adding to the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the it. And that's what you have to believe if you're going to be saved. And he goes on and says in verse 47, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So God wants you to understand that you need to repent. Now repentance is turning to God from our sins. It's understanding what the Bible says, and it's counting the cost, and it's turning to God from our sins. So there's going to be a new person in your life. It's going to be you if you get saved. Now, you'll be the same person one way. You know, you have the personality, you have things you like, dislike, and so on. But you're going to be turned over to God, and you're going to serve God. You're going to do God's will for your life. That's the difference. And he says not only repentance should be preached, but he also mentions remission of sins. You know what that is? When God forgives you, he takes away all your sins. And you know what it means? Freedom. Freedom! Now, the world will tell you, oh, once you're a sinner, you're always a sinner. That's true to a degree. But God tells us there's freedom. You repent, you put your faith in Christ, there's freedom in Christ. It's a new life. It's a new beginning. And there's victory over your sin, which you've never experienced before. That's right. You feel like I'm the way I am, and that's the way I'm going to be. And so, that's not what the Bible teaches. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, you know when Paul wrote that? He wrote to the church of Corinth. He wrote on the other side of the world. He wrote in Macedonia. And he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things become new. And so God tells us, when we get saved, we can be a new creature in Christ. There's going to be a new desire, a new walk, a new talk, a new way of living, and that's for Jesus Christ. This is not a religion, it's a relationship with God. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to have a relationship with him that you've never had before. And so he goes on and tells us, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But here's the key. He says, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. Do we do that? See, well, I'm not in Jerusalem. I'm not talking about Jerusalem. I'm talking about waiting for God's power to be upon our church. Did you ask for God for power today? Did you ask God to fill me with his Spirit? Did you ask God to fill you with the Spirit? I say that all sincerity, church. I don't know. Maybe it did. But we don't want to play games. That's what churches are known for. Just playing the game, the Christian game. I'm not interested in that. I want Christianity. I want what the Bible says. I want what God offers me and tells me in His Word what He'll do. That's what I want. I want New Testament Christianity. Amen. So we have to ask ourselves the question, are we taking the Great Commission to our churches, to our church's heart? In other words, we believe this. Are we doing this? Are we practicing this? And we must have God's Word revealed to us. We must pray as never before. And so the question we ask is, do you pray every day? Do you pray for the unsaved each and every day? Do you pray for the power of God to be upon our church service? Are you telling others about Jesus Christ and that He saves the lost sinner? One time, our time is about over. And you're not going to have another time. It's going too late. If we get wrapped, it's too late. So what we do now, what we do today, what we decide in our hearts now, we must act upon that and do God's will. Second of all, we not only have a duty to recognize the time, we have a duty to redeem the time. Notice verse 11. He said, know the time that now is high time to wake out of a sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So we have a duty to redeem our time. And the Bible says, knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. High time speaks of a specific hour has arrived. The Lord's churches have fallen asleep spiritually. Sleeplessness many times notes a selfish, slothful, and sluggardness, a state of unawareness and inactivity. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible speaks about redeeming the time. Why? The days are evil. Colossians 4, 5, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Again, the thought of doing the will of God to those without salvation, those without conversion, those without the truth, those without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we must tell them. We must study with them. We must believe that God will deal with their hearts and save them. Save the sinner. Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 and 25, Jesus said another parable, but put he forth on them, saying, the kingdom of heaven that is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in a field. Here's the key. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The Bible speaks of people who are saved at ease in Zion. In other words, the love of comfort, functioning in convenience, a willingness to compromise, carnality. This is what the Bible speaks about, a spiritual sluggard, someone who's truly a convert, but he's allowed this dullness to enter his life, and God doesn't want that. He says in Isaiah 56 and verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. they're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. That's what God says about preachers who aren't willing to preach the truth. In Ezekiel 22, verse 26, the Bible says, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. And this is the problem in our day and age. People don't consider things that are holy. They don't respect things that are holy. You know why? Because God's people are indifferent. They're apathetic. We don't live the Christian life as we ought to. And because of that, people don't respect the things of God. That won't be that way around our church. Amen? We're going to glorify God. We're going to look at things that are holy, like the Holy Bible. Amen? That we're going to live our lives as holy. We're going to be holy as He's holy. These things are holy things. And God wants to live accordingly. And so He says, they have profaned my holy things. They've put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath. I am profane among them. So this is what God says in the Old Testament of his preachers and of the priest. And the priests lived in such a way, they profaned the things of God. They took lightly the things of God. They had a who cares attitude. You know, they weren't concerned about what God was thinking, what God was doing. They were concerned about themselves. So the second thing we see is a call to awaken. Notice verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. And let the therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. The issue of our time. Time is precious. Time may be wasted. Time's on our side. Because we're saved, we're going to spend eternity in heaven. But those who are lost, time's against you. Time is running out. It may run out today. I mean, you may die today. If you've not been saved, you're not guaranteed another day. And if you die, you'll go to hell. Place of fire and brimstone, just like the Bible says. In John 9:4, the Bible says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So this is a time we must be busy. Life is made of time, and we work for time is short. James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? That's a good question. What is your life? What is your life? Is it among business? Is that what your life is? A little Jesus on the side, a little bit of portfolio, you know, just kind of add Jesus in there? That's not good enough. Paul says, Christ is my life. I live, I eat, I drink, I act, I have intercession, I pray, I tell others about Christ. Why? He's my life. So what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a while, for a time, and then vanished away. So we all know this, the tea kettle, the water's boiling, and that little vapor that goes up and then disappears into the air, it's there for a while. That's our lives. I really can't believe I'm 64. Just yesterday I was in Bible college. We had our four babies just yesterday. But life continues to move on. That's the way God designed it, to move on. And our life is coming to an end, beloved. I mean, all of us. That's why you must seek the Lord while you can. Now, today. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. So make each child of God go and after the will of God for their life. Reading the Word of God, memorize the Bible, Bible verses, praying, interceding, witnessing for the lost, separating from the world, living a holy life unto the Lord. Now, you may say, well, I do most of those, but I don't separate from the world. Well, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what the Bible says. I got saved from the world. Amen. I got delivered from the world. And if you're still both feet, one in the world, one in Christ, you better make your calling, election sure. You better make sure you're saved. And that's what God does. He saves us from this present evil world, the Bible says. Second of all, we see the issue of opportunity. Doors of opportunity may be open or opening for a while. And as a result, would it be light and salt in this dark world? The Bible is a testimony of the world. John the Baptist was called by the Son of God a bright light. And what kind of light would you be considered? Would you be a light that is out? Maybe your light's not shining. Maybe it's a dull light. We need to be a bright light in this dark, dark world. It's getting darker all the time. We ought to stand out. We ought to be known. Not just telling people, but the way we live. We ought to be known as children of God. Now notice Romans chapter 14, and we pick up here verse 9 through 13. Verse 14, chapter 14, and to this end Christ both died and rose and received, and revived rather, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment of Christ. Now you can find fault all you want. I get sick of it. We're not to be fault finders. But just know this, that you and I are going to stand personally before the Son of God and give an account. And you can find fault with your sister, you can find fault with your brother, you can find fault across the hall, or down the street, and your grocery guy, the gas attendant. You can find fault all you want, but you and I are going to stand before God and give an account. He goes on and tells us, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. So that's what God is concerned about. Concerns remind us that individually we're going to give an account to God. Second of all, we're not to be a stumbling block. We're not to lay something in the path of a fellow believer coming up. We're to be consistent. We're to be Christ-like in our lives. So we see the issue of casting off the works of darkness. Notice verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now one has been born again, is saved from sin, there's a growing and maturing in God's word. It's called sanctification. We're being set apart from the world and set apart unto Christ. Now Paul confronts the church at Rome, and there were some who had dabbled in the world, the world's fashions, the world's philosophies, the world's system. Let me just say this, I want to be very plain. All this stuff is junk. It's junk. It's garbage. These are weights that so easily beset us. The world's fashion, the world's philosophy, the world's works, the worldly religion. These are weights. Let it be out of our lives. Let's cast it off. The works of darkness. Paul goes on and tells us. This world system, Paul told the church to cast off the works of darkness. Let's take a Bible. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4, and notice verse 20. And the Bible tells in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. See, this is the new man. The new man is righteousness, righteous living, right living, and true holiness. That's the new man. And wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let no man, let him that stole steal no more, and rather let him labor working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let not no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that you may minister grace to the hearers. You see, these are all things God tells us we're to put off. We're not to be that way. Don't be a liar. Don't speak evil. Don't steal from people. God, this is basic Christianity 101. And then God goes on and tells us here in verse 30, he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Then notice, if you would, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and pick up in verse 2. We'll kind of skip through this chapter. Paul says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, what does God want us to do? Tell me. We're to set our affection on things above, not on the earth. What are we to do? Set our affection where? On things above, not things on the earth. So what do we do? Set our affection where? Above, not on the earth. That's what God says. You know what he means? Exactly that. And notice Colossians 3, we continue on. And we pick up here in verse 5. The Bible tells us, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So God tells us these are things that we're to mortify and kill in our lives. Why? Because we've been saved. And he speaks about immorality. That's the general theme of that verse. And then Paul goes on and tells in verse 8, he said, notice, he said, but now you put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We're not to be that way, beloved. We're not to be cursing. We're not to allow euphemisms to come out of my mouth. Instead of saying the curse word, we say shoot. Or, heck. Christians don't speak that way. Get that out of your life. In verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off your old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Knowledge. After the image of him that created him. It's got to be renewed in the Bible. The knowledge. God goes on and tells us here in verse 12. He said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And men have a quarrel against any? Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. This is what God wants. He wants to have Christian fellowship. He wants them to care about one another. He wants to be concerned. He said, well, that's the preacher's job. That's everyone's job. Everyone's to be that way. If you have awe in your heart towards your fellow man, your brother, your sister in Christ, you say, well, I don't think they're saved. Well, it doesn't matter. If you have awe against them, get it right. You want to have revival? You want to see God do something in the midst? Get it right. Because you don't do it now, you do it then. And it's going to be too late, friend. Because you're going to get an account before Christ. And you're talking about bitter tears at the judgment seat because you had been offended or you had hard feelings against someone. Too late. You get it right, but you get it right in front of the whole world of saved people. So, again, notice verse 5 speaks of sensual sins. He said, mortify therefore your members which upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So, the Bible teaches us here that we have these things are out of order. The child of God, affections, passions, lust. Therefore, it's a plague among the people who profess Christ. This stuff is going on too much, beloved. I'm not talking about just our church. I'm talking about all of Christendom. I heard this past week the church had some men in it that were involved with pornography. So our church will not tolerate this sin. I'm telling you right now, if you have that junk at home, If you're watching on your phone, I don't know what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. But I'm telling you, you're doing that stuff, we won't tolerate it. We'll find out. God's people are to love their wives as Christ. I don't have a wife. Well, you ought to love God. You love the Lord and you do what's right in His eyes. Holy, the Bible says. A bunch of junk. People go, well, you know, it's a real problem in churches. Not going to be a problem here, I'll tell you right now. We won't tolerate it. We will not tolerate it. I don't care who you are. You hear me? I don't care who you are, who you think you are. I'm not tolerating it. We must, as a church, not tolerate the sin. It's a consuming to an individual. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against yourself. It's a sin against women in our church. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And notice the Bible says verse 18. Now, watch this. Verse 18, I want everyone there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. The Bible says, flee fornication. Fornication is any sexual sin. Any. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinned against an old body. So you're committing this sin, you're sinning against yourself. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which you have of God and you're not your own? God tells us, if you have the Spirit of God living within you, your body is the temple. Your body is the dwelling place of the Spirit of God in your life. And you're gonna have the sin of pornography in your life? He said, For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So God tells us, you know, we're breaking the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's exactly what you're doing. Again, well, I don't have a wife. Well, you know, go find one. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 7. If you have a burning within you, you get yourself married, but you married in the Lord, marry right, and so on. But God's grace is sufficient for that. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. And he tells us, let us walk honestly as in the day, not riotous and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And notice verse 12, he said, let us put on the armor of light. This is speaking of Ephesians 6. The whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith and the sword of spirit, and we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now Paul tells us to walk honestly. In other words, behave properly. We're not to live in the flesh or in carnality, rioting and drunkenness. This word is found throughout the Word of God. It's a common sin in the world of drunkenness and immorality. And God doesn't want to live that way. He speaks about chambering and wantonness, speaks of promiscuity, immoral mindset. The last two are strife and envy, which speaks of fleshly sins, of a deep partisan division, which caused division in the church at Corinth, along with other churches. It's living a life of denial of these self-centered sins and with the occupation of Christ and others. So God doesn't want us to live like the world. And we're not to be like the world. The Bible says, by this men shall know that you're my disciple. By what? The love you have for one another. Now what do you think? God overlooks your hatred or your anger, your bitterness towards others? So I try to get it right. That's all that God wants. It's all that God wants, that you make it right with that person. If they don't receive it, that's their problem. Amen. Amen. I've done that before. Looking to get right with someone and they don't want anything to do, that's fine. God sees that I tried to do the right thing. It's all that matters. And then last of all, we see the call to activity, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we see development of the spiritual life put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, continuing our spiritual maturity, our growing in the Lord. In Colossians 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. That's the other word God wants. Diligence. Diligence from His people. And giving all diligence to add to your faith. So you have saving faith, add to it virtue. And the virtue, knowledge. And knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. And godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 3, verse 1. Matter of fact, let's turn there real quickly. Just about out of time here. 1 John chapter. And you're saying, oh, that's good. About out of time. 1 John chapter 3. This is a great verse. Listen to this now. Verse 1. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now ye are the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. All right? So John's laying now these first two thoughts. That we're sons of God. We've been forgiven. Jesus returns, we're going to be like him. Now notice verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. You know, another verse is, be holy, for I'm holy. God tells us. You and I have got to be careful. He said, well, I know people who, don't worry about people. I want to know what God's dealing with your heart about. Is God speaking to your heart about? Are you living a pure life? Are you striving to live a pure life? And then God tells us here in Galatians chapter 5, and notice, if you would, Galatians 5, verse 15. And this is about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, the Bible says, but if you bite, devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. So these are people who are fighting and fussing with each other, feuding. And just bellyaching and complaining about one another. He said, you do that, you're going to be consumed one another. But he said this, verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't do the way your mother taught you, or with how you know, or what your past says. Walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary the one to the other, so they cannot do the things that you would. So Paul goes on and tells us in verse 25 of the same chapter, he tells us in verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You saved? You have the Spirit of God in you? Then walk in the Spirit. Don't make excuses for yourself. Don't say, well, you don't know my situation. I don't care to know your situation. I know what the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Ephesians 3, verse 19. The Bible tells us here, and to know the love of Christ, which is past knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you filled with God today? Who I was last week, going to be today. The fullness of God. The Bible goes on and says in chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. My prayer every day is that, Lord, make me like Christ. Make me godly. The fullness of God. the fullness of Christ. Then we see in verse 18 of chapter 5, the fullness of the Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit. So this is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in the Spirit, and not only the filling of the Spirit, but secondly is the denial of the self-life. Let's go there and we'll close. Chapter 14, if you would. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fullness of the Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit, thinking in the Spirit, doing things according to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Just chapter and verse. And then he goes on and tells us, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So Paul tells us here, we're not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh refers to the remaining sin, our proclivity to sin. The provision for sin originates in the hearts, our minds, our emotions, the will, which are still influenced powerfully by the flesh. Now, I'm sorry to say this, beloved, but, you know, that's our problem. You say, well, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm trying to live for God, but I got these thoughts and all of a sudden this desire and so on. That's all the remaining sin in our lives. But when that rapture takes place, we're going to have that ever again. Ever again. We're going to be like He is. Amen. But until that time comes, beloved, we must fight. We must fight against our flesh. We must deny ourselves. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. You read your Bible every day? Did you read it this morning? I don't do it on Sunday. I do it when I go home. Okay, good. But you got to read it. You got to be rich concerning the Scriptures. And he says, rich in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spirits of song, and sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We must ask for the filling of the Spirit. And we must walk in the Spirit. And we must have the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this as we close. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a faithful God. A God who wants us to walk with Him. God who wants us to know Him. To have an intimate relationship with Him. Say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. But you need to be born again. You need to be converted to Christ. You need to be saved. And if you step out and come during the invitation, we'll take a man or woman, whatever you are, and have you sit down in another room and go through the Scriptures. If you say, I can't do that today, I got stuff to do. All right, fine. Make an appointment. But know this, such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming. That's a promise. Jesus said, He said, I will come again. And John closed out the Scriptures by saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming. When? But He's coming. And you want to be ready. I want you ready. More than that, God wants you ready. He wants you to know Him and be saved. And don't stumble over these vain thoughts that you may have. Come to Christ. Jesus said this. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. Come to Christ. If you're saved by God's grace, there's things I know God spoke to your heart about, and do it. Let's stand on our feet, please. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time.